Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, talking about everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And obviously, this week, we will be talking about Conor McGregor, which I'm toying, Ken, with doing the whole show as Eric O'Brien. I'll just bring it back, because I might as well and represent the Irish for the next hour.
I don't think there's anybody left in that company to sue you for using that name anymore, so go for it.
There isn't. So Way of the Warrior this time around brought to you by EOB and the EOB show.
They probably do have a lawyer left. They're going to get a letter next week. Like, you can't do that,
bro. You cannot say that thing. We're going to give that to another guy named Eob.
So the luck of the Irish this week.
So the luck of the Irish
this week. Are you
still all in? I am 100%. I mean, how do you not watch that Paulie video and not be all in?
Oh, which one?
When he gets knocked down by Conor McGregor.
Okay. Well, no, haven't you seen the recent Paulie Malignaggi video where they had a confrontation outside during the grand entrances?
Yes, but I still feel like all of this stuff is marketing in some way, shape, or form. Nothing is going to sell that fight better than that video. That 20 seconds of video is selling probably exponentially more than they were going to sell already, just because now I think people watch that and go, oh, okay, yeah, they're saying he's 0-0-0, but he just knocked Paul out, right?
I know that's 30 seconds of edited 12 round action, but man, he cracked him with that left.
Oh boy, he did.
Cracked him with that left. And come on now, you can't deny that. And I get it, and I will tell people, look, that is 20 seconds of 12 rounds straight. It's not even a straight sequence that's been put together. But man, that left is all it takes for people to go, oh, see, that's what he's going to do. He's going to swarm Mayweather. He's going to get all up in his face, and he's going to be all about the weird stances and the angles. Oh my god, if I had a damn dime for every time I've heard the word angles in the breakdown of this fight over the past month, that'd be it. I wouldn't need my Powerball ticket for tonight.
Well, and it is obviously going to be about the angles, and you've heard a lot of this. He's going to do a lot of karate stances and things supposedly that Mayweather hasn't seen. And look, I'm excited about this fight. I'm also all in on the fact that in the first four rounds, I think that's Conor's shot to do this thing. When you look at the Malignaggi video, to your point, it's edited. Paulie had no idea he was going to do 12 rounds. You wouldn't normally do 12 rounds. So it was a bit of a setup, which is why I feel everything is, in fact, marketing.
Yeah, okay.
when we do this.
But here's the weird thing. And again, you and I aren't real big boxing guys. We've gone to Vegas. We've covered Floyd on occasion.
Right. We've covered like 12 fights, but aren't really boxing guys.
Well, no. Floyd, although he put everybody in a tent this time, so I guess we're good.
Right. Get outside, radio people.
And they put him up in the Excalibur, for Christ's sake.
That's funny.
Which, if you've been to Vegas, is like a cardboard hotel that's made to look like medieval times. So I don't know. I think they're trying to cash in all the money and keep it themselves this time. Anyhow, so again, this comes from a different place. And I get that Conor's going to be different, and it's going to be different for Paulie Malignaggi. And I don't want to get too much into this, but I found it very interesting how much he's actually talking to the media. Because isn't the deal you go in as a sparring partner and you just go in and you spar? And whatever weird things happen and whatever the champ, quote unquote, champ wants to do for his fight, they happen. Yeah, I get it, Paulie. You're not used to a referee being in there. You're not used to 12 rounds. But then again, this is a guy making his pro debut. There's going to be some weird things. I just thought it was strange and a little off-putting. And again, I'm not a boxing guy, so I don't know what this is like. But I just think it's so strange that a sparring partner has been doing so much damn media after a sparring session. And I get it. Some video got out. You were the sparring partner, man. You went in, you cashed your check, and you went home. That's part of the deal. And that's got to be a bit of a hit for a guy who's a multiple-time world champion, but that's what he was brought in to do in this instance. It just seems very weird, possibly, like you said, contrived, to see how much media he's doing after this sparring session.
So does that mean, are you buying in on this conspiracy theory that he wants next? Because that's what a lot of people are floating out. That
maybe. I mean, you know, he's a guy, he admitted it himself. He's a little bit over the hill, but he's got a name and some world titles. That might be perfect for Conor McGregor to try to make his name on something. I don't know if anybody wants that fight. We're going to have to see what happens this weekend first to see if anybody wants that fight, because I don't remember a whole lot of people ever lining up to. I've never bought a Pauly Malignaggi pay-per-view.
Right.
And again, I'm not a boxing guy, but I mean, when you want those casual numbers, that's what you've got to go after at this point. So I don't know. That smacked is very strange this whole time as we led up to this fight, in the middle of a lot of very strange things, in the middle of Floyd Mayweather pimping a strip club every time that they do this Showtime 24/7. And eating hamburgers and not showing a lick of training, which, I've heard a lot of guys talk about it. I think Luke Thomas has talked about it. I've heard Colin Cowell heard. I've heard a lot of guys on sports radio. If he's not showing you that he's training, he is training his ass off. He's trying to sell this fight in every conceivable way to give Conor a shot. Oh, I might take this off. Oh, I'm going to let you have lighter gloves. That's Mayweather's advantage. He's going to land more punches. No matter how this goes, he's going to land more punches. Do you want to be hit more times with 10-ounce gloves or 8-ounce gloves, Eric?
100% you want to be hit with 10-ounce gloves.
But they've spun this into some type of win for Conor McGregor.
Of course they – well, they spin it as if Floyd is – making concessions at every turn, right? You know, I'm going to take this on quote
when
unquote,
he's made none.
Zero.
None.
Right? I'm going to take this on quote unquote short notice. We're going to do 8-ounce gloves, right? Like, I remember Schaub and Joe Rogan were joking, like, all Conor had to do was ask if he could kick once per round. They probably would have said yes, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying is, like, there were other options here if you wanted to make this more of a fair playing field. And you didn't have to go to MMA. I mean, the first thing most people say, you have kickboxing rules, which are essentially boxing rules with your feet. You could have done that. You could have done something. You could have allowed clinch rules. So let's not pretend that any concessions whatsoever have been made to Conor McGregor. None have been made other than writing him a big fat check to get in there and do this fight so that they can both make upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars.
So what do you think is going to happen on Saturday night? I mean, I'll obviously give my take.
I have no idea what's going to happen. I believe what's going to happen is that Floyd Mayweather is going to distance the fight out and probably TKO Conor in the late rounds. He's going to be teeing off on Conor. I think Conor's too tough to really go down. That doesn't mean it won't be a TKO in boxing. I think later rounds, Conor's getting TKO'd. And that's one thing that's interesting. I've been listening to a lot of fighters this past week. I wish I could remember who was talking this week. I've been doing a lot of driving, so I get to listen to a lot of radio and satellite radio and things like that. And one of the MMA fighters was talking about the fact that, yeah, Conor's got a gas tank. Everybody knows Conor's got a gas tank. But there's things that MMA fighters do when they're in the cage to rest, whether it's getting a guy on the ground and finding a way to rest. And again, we know that's not 100% rest, but it's different muscles here and there. Conor's going to be working the same muscles for 12 rounds straight if he goes the distance in this fight. And that's a different game than being in MMA and popping out of range and maybe getting somebody on the ground or getting in a clinch and putting your weight on somebody and finding those opportunities. You know, the clinches in boxing should, by rule, be broken up very quickly. I mean, even in that video we talked about with Pauly Malignaggi, it looked like you saw some rabbit punches there just in those scrums. Those are illegal, technically. Now, will Conor McGregor be given some leeway? I'm not sure. I think all boxers are given some leeway, but we're going to have to wait and see. Some of that stuff he did with pushing the head down and things like that MMA fighters do, maybe to rest or to just kind of reset themselves and keep in that position, he can't do these in a boxing ring. So it's going to be really interesting. Now, as you said, the first four rounds are Conor's key. And again, I give Pauly Malignaggi credit because even during all this talk and the fact that he feels he was disrespected, he did say that he saw an intensity there. He sees a desire there and an element of youth that may not be present for Floyd Money Mayweather. That desire, that youth, that desire, just that overwhelming like beginning of the fight that you just can't plan for against the guy who's never boxed before. And that would be the opportunity that Conor McGregor has. Conor's saying first round. He's saying first round now that he got his quote-unquote 8-ounce gloves. His 8-ounce gloves.
Right, yes. And I don't know about the first round, although, I mean, if we're going to talk things to bet on, that's clearly your soundest bet. Because I think that's when it's going to be at its craziest, as they're feeling each other out. You know, when I think it was
And that's when that overwhelming, like, can come into play.
And I think it was Andre Berto who was saying, like, the way Floyd fights is those first three or four rounds, he's downloading all of your moves so that he can pick you apart for the rest of the fight. In this particular case, given the fact that Connor is a southpaw, Connor is younger, Connor will be bigger, you know, there's some danger there. And of course, unorthodox, right? Because he has never boxed before. There's some danger there that you won't necessarily be able to download, per se, the way you would a traditional boxer who's done this since they've been 6 years old. That's not to say that that's all in all a sound plan, but the variables in this fight are the fact that he might be hard to read just because he doesn't actually know altogether exactly what he's supposed to be doing in there.
Right. And there's a couple things I want to mention, I think, that work really well off of what you just said. One of the things, we mentioned this in a couple of different podcasts, and, you know, I've said he should be all in on the Bruce Lee route. Do one thing over and over and over again in camp. Just don't try to learn stances and different ways to defend and different combinations. Find one thing, and it can be a combination, but one thing, and he should just be doing that over and over again in his camp.
And it, should end with the left is what it should do.
It should always end with it should start and probably end with the left. And he should do that over and over and over again, because he's not going to catch up to 25 years of boxing experience at Floyd Mayweather Jr. The other thing I think goes really well with what you just said, and I wanted to ask you, as somebody, how long have you been rolling, Eric, at this point, BJJ? Various forms.
16 years, 17 years.
Okay, so, and you're a high blue?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so, and there's an interesting dynamic I hear from a lot of guys in BJJ, where you can see a white belt spaz out, and the browns and the blacks will just tap to be done with it because they don't want to get hurt.
Yep.
Because somebody's an idiot and they don't know what they're doing. And sometimes those guys can catch you because, well, they don't really know what they're doing. They don't know that they shouldn't have just tried to muscle this in. They were supposed to be practicing technique, but oops, they broke your freaking arm.
Yep.
Because they didn't know your quote unquote technique, and that's what they were supposed to be practicing. Now, this is not the same thing. This is not a sparring session. So Floyd's not just going to give up because some guy starts windmilling him. But I think you can kind of take that and say, okay, you know, every once in a while you get that white belt in the gym and he does something insane, or he's got weird strength, or he's got one thing, and you've got these other guys tapping out because that's not technique. They're not working on technique. They're not doing the thing, quote unquote, you expect them to do at that point. So you tap out, you get out of the situation because you don't want a broken arm from somebody who's, quote unquote, not playing the game at that point.
And, you know, the other thing that I've said all week long, and I've said prior to this, and I know that we talked about it in, I think, two podcasts ago, is it's really hard for me in those early rounds to root against Connor because of his ability to manifest destiny in the literal sense of the word. I mean, we can talk all day long that Floyd has probably been boxing since he's about 3 years old, and that's nothing to scoff at. And he's the best boxer in the modern era. He's for sure one of the best, if not the best, defensive boxer of all time. Howsoever, and you've heard this a lot as you've been watching media, and Ken and I have heard this story 150 times, but 4 years ago, friends, Conor McGregor was cashing a welfare check.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if we talk about the mental portion of this game, this is a guy that's not going to be broken. And I pair that up with when he lost to Nate Diaz. If you look at, and you and I talked about this because this made you super angry because of the way that Ronda reacted. Connor reacted like a gentleman and 90 days later got back in there and took him to the woodshed, right? Which says, when we're talking about...
He didn't want any other fight. And after that fight, Dana said, look, just go back to your division. Thank you for stepping up. We appreciate it. Let's go with the belt. And he wouldn't take another fight.
Yeah.
He wanted to go back in against him.
So he goes in there and the fight is completely different because of the level of fight IQ. Lots of people talk about George St. Pierre. I would argue that Connor's is better. And the thing about Connor, which is why I think this is so interesting, is because win or lose, if he has a great showing on Saturday night, my guess, and I've been joking this all week and I can't wait to run this by you, my guess is he headlines WrestleMania next year against Finn Balor, is like what I think he would do next, because it's clear that Conor McGregor is not in this to defend belts. He's in this to find things that you think he can't do and then do them successfully. And this is clearly a big ask on Saturday night, but it's hard for me to underestimate somebody who can put himself in the position to even do this, to say, no chance, he has no chance at winning this fight.
Now, here's an interesting dynamic when you start talking about chances and you figure out where the money is, and Connor's been about plus 650 at this point, which is kind of ridiculous considering.
Oh, it went up? How did it go up?
No, it's plus 650.
Right. Well, it was plus 350 like 3 days ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No, he got bet down to plus 350.
Keep talking. I'll look it up for sure what it is right now.
Oh, my God. So anyways, you've got Connor as obviously the underdog, but not nearly the underdog you would necessarily think he should be. But the money starts pushing things a certain way. Now, I've heard something along the lines that 80 to 90% of the money, and this is obviously fluctuating, especially week of, 80 to 90% of the betting, I should say, 80 to 90% of the betting has been coming in for Connor. Does that surprise you?
No, and this is why, which is what I just said a second ago, he's a 3-to-1 underdog.
Okay, so here's the other interesting
fact. Plus 300, 350, something like that.
So you've got 60, 70, 80% of the bets, depending on what book you talk to. Let's just say 70%.
Sure.
Of the bets are coming in on Connor. But 70 to 80% of the money is on Floyd.
Wow.
Which is very interesting to me. Very interesting to me. So what that tells me is you've got a lot of fans, a lot of MMA fans, you know, dropping their $25, $50
sure.
bets.
Yep.
And the guys that know boxing, that have the money, that are there entrenched in Vegas, they see it as free money, even though they've got to bet $1 million to win $300,000 for Floyd.
But what happens to Vegas, though, if McGregor wins?
I would love to see that, because he's if you're talking about. Well, I would love to see how that actually plays out, because if he's been pushed to plus 350, which I hadn't seen, that means there's a lot of money moving around and moving those lines around. And of course, that doesn't surprise me, because this week is fight week. You're starting to see people trickle into Vegas and they get to the books and they make those legal bets that they can now make. And man, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if Vegas would take the bath, because they're moving the line with the money. So, I mean, if you've got so many bets on one side, but then a lot of money on the other side, I honestly don't know. We'd have to talk to somebody in Vegas to really nail that down and figure things out.
And just so people understand, because you're better at this than I am, but I think a lot of people misunderstand. Guys, when this goes to a 3-to-1 odd, that does not mean his odds of actually winning are better. It just means the money has moved to the point that is how the line reads. Is that a proper way
right.
to put that?
Yeah, exactly. That's the money being bet. I mean, when this fight opened, Connor was like minus 1500, something like that.
I think at one point, Ken, it was 2600 at one point, which is like, you know, if you got in at that point, you're going to be a trillionaire on Saturday night.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, well, if he wins, but yeah, all
you
the money
mean
starts
when,
coming in
right?
On
I think you meant to say when.
So all the money starts coming in on Connor, and yeah, those odds shift a different way. So he goes from plus whatever it is, 2,500. Almost immediately, I remember it jumping to 1,000, and they didn't understand where all the money was coming from. And it's now plus 350, according to your latest numbers. So that's really interesting to kind of look at and see how this betting has gone for Mayweather-McGregor at this point.
If Floyd loses on Saturday, do you think they'll do a rematch?
There's going to be a lot more money in the
well,
rematch.
So this is what I so I bring this up because my neighbor, I was Ken and I were talking before we started the show. For the first time since I've lived in this new neighborhood, I think every single house has invited me over to watch this fight, which leans into the fact that you're seeing stats of 1 in 6 Americans are going to pay for this pay-per-view to show you how big this thing is. But one of my neighbors pulled me aside. He's like, "Hey, I've got this theory. My theory is like, Floyd's taking this seriously, but isn't taking it super serious, because if he loses, instead of making $300 million, he makes $600 million because they do this again." And while I don't think, I'm not one who's going to sit here and say that I think it's fixed and that's what they're going to do, it's still an interesting theory, because if it's all about the money, the best way to get more money, because Ken, you and I have talked about this, while we're not boxing guys, we're also combat sports fans and can understand that the best fight probably in the last 6 years is happening 3 weeks from now, and zero people are talking about it, mostly because these two are sucking up all the oxygen. So even in boxing,
there's no other way.
Well, so my point in that, though, is that these guys are the biggest thing in MMA and in boxing, and so if you could do this again, why wouldn't you?
Oh, of course, of course. So it's going to be, I mean, man, you know, yeah, if McGregor wins, everybody would talk about it. Oh, what a win for the UFC. Oh, man, look at the UFC fighter. This is not a win for the UFC because I don't know if Mayweather's or if McGregor's going to get back in there to defend any of his belts or anything along that line, along those lines, if there's another rematch possible with Floyd Money Mayweather at that point. Because, again, you have to look back at these pay dynamics. And, of course, they're going to change some for Conor after this kind of fight.
But
let's say they change tremendously. Just he's obviously on a boxing pay-per-view. He's making over $100 million, whatever. Like, the UFC would have to throw their organization into a different realm to even give him $25 million.
Yeah.
A quarter of what he's making now. So let's not forget, again, Conor doesn't seem to be doing things for money, like you said, or championships or belts. He wants to do things people say he can't do. So people are going to say that was a fluke. You caught him. He would never do it again. So, of course, he's going to want to go do it again at that point. And a win for Conor is not necessarily a win for UFC because they might not get their headline fighter back. And we're going to transition very soon into a reason that is very, very important to the UFC.
Yes, that is a very, very important thing that we'll talk about here in just a second. But just to wrap on this, you know, it can't be understated that what we're seeing this weekend is something that's special. And the amount of people, casual fans that are coming out of the woodwork to check this out, the number of bets that are moving the line all over the place, and the fact that these two guys have seemingly grabbed the attention of the entire country to see what happens. And so what's fascinating to me about this is when we talk about the aftermath, whatever that is, and Ken, I think you said 2 weeks ago the Chael Sonnen quote, and I'd like to go back to that. And what Chael Sonnen said was, if Floyd can't knock Conor out in round one, this is already a loss for boxing. And so my question, as we're on the eve of this fight, is: A, do you still believe that? And B, if he doesn't knock him out in round one, does that set up a rematch anyway to prove that he could do that at some point, and that boxing is, if we're going to go there, if boxing is superior to MMA, if that's what we're trying to prove?
Well, I don't think that's a fair thing to try to prove, but I will say this. I don't think that a lack of a knockout in round one is going to necessarily cause a rematch. I don't believe that just because of the way the perceptuals work. And everybody's looking at this fight. I don't think enough people, though, have taken seriously what Chael has said. And I don't mean because Chael said it. I mean because it really hasn't been discussed a lot. Chael made a great point. This is, pound for pound, arguably the best boxer in history. And if you have a guy who's never done the thing that you are the best in the world at, better than anybody in the history of the world, arguably, you are better than not only the 7 billion people on the planet right now, but all of the millions upon billions of people in the history of the world at this one thing. And a guy comes into the ring and you don't knock him out immediately. You are not very good at that. That is a disaster for boxing, right?
Yeah, no, totally.
So let's go back to James, Tony, Randy Couture. That fight was a minute long. Randy took him down and submitted the dude. And it wouldn't have really taken a minute, except Randy was being extra cautious. If James Toney had gotten out of that round, I think that would have been a disaster for MMA at that point. Like, oh, this guy lasted a whole round. Why didn't you knock him out or submit him? That's your cage.
Well, I would say, Ken, to that end, it was a bit of a disaster because it was a minute.
Yeah, it took a long. Well, it only took a long time. Some people probably don't remember the fight. You and I are getting older. But that was Randy kind of hopping around, yeah, just looking at James Toney.
No, I get it. But again,
it shouldn't have taken that long. And like, if you were to see this fight that we're talking about Saturday night play out in the octagon versus a boxing ring, I have no doubt that Floyd Mayweather would be done in 20 seconds at most, because I think Conor McGregor would just take it to him to be done with him immediately.
And I mean, I think everybody who understands the sport, which is, look, anybody who's paying attention to the sport should understand that is a pretty much undeniable fact, guys. If you add all of the things that you can do in the cage, this isn't even a close contest. Much like the same way that we're having the conversation in boxing is that if Floyd is arguably the best ever and clearly the best defensive fighter of all time, this shouldn't even be a competition, but I still feel it will be.
And that's what's going to be interesting about this fight. And that's why all of your neighbors are buying this fight. That's why I'm buying this fight. That's why so much is going into this weekend that's taking away from Canelo and Triple G. It's just this spectacle. And that's okay. I mean, this is entertainment. There's been so many people consternating, and you talk about, you know, some of these boxing guys on Twitter drive me nuts. You might want your real fight. # Canelo Triple G. Cool. You know what? I probably will watch that fight. But you can't just be dismissive of the fact that the best boxer in history, arguably, is fighting this weekend. It doesn't matter who he's fighting. And the fact that he's garnered so much interest with this is something that has definitely caught the public's attention. It's caught the media's attention, and it's organic. I know a lot of people are talking about they're just in this for the money. They're just in this for the money. Of course they are. They're prize fighters. There's a reason it's called prize fighting. But let's not forget, this is organic. This is a social media fight. This is one of the most organic fights we've seen in boxing ever. In an over-manipulated and over-managed situation where promoters are trying to manipulate and coddle the media in certain ways and coddle their fighters and keep these undefeated records going because that seems to be the only way these fighters can make money, this is the most organic thing we've seen in boxing in decades. Show me something more organic that's happened in boxing in decades. You can't do it. You can't. This is social media driven. This is fans who wanted the fight, and they made the freaking fight. So, again, you can be mad about it. You can say it's not a real boxing match. But this is one of the most organic things we've seen in boxing in a long, long time for any casual fans.
Yeah, and I mean, yes, the Triple G Canelo fight is a big deal in the world of boxing. And that also can't be understated. But to your point, I would have, if I were them and the opportunity arose, I would have, and I know that there is some competition between the warring promoting parties in the world of boxing, which is another day for another podcast, but I would have leaned into this and tried to get a piece of this to help push towards this fight, especially if Floyd wins, to go, oh, did you like what that stuff was like? Why don't you check out the two best boxers right this very second who are in their prime, who are going to fight in 21 days.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, again, like you said, that's HBO versus Showtime.
I get it.
There's a lot going on.
I get it. But I mean, if you're talking about the health of the sport, to me, this is how you don't go after it like you were talking to on Twitter. You lean into it because you want to be a part of the conversation. It's no different, as you just said, it's no different why every single one of my neighbors is getting this fight, because everybody knows that if you wake up on Sunday morning and you read about it on Twitter, you didn't actually experience it. And in a world where there is so many ways for you to be distracted and so many ways for you to watch things whenever you want to. You could have binged watched the Defenders a week ago if you wanted to, or watch them one episode at a time for 8 days, or not watch it at all. This is one of those events that you have to jump in and watch while it's happening. And that is why there are so many people talking about it. That's why there's people in Vegas covering it. That's why Triple G and Canelo and their promoting arm are so angry about it, because it has sucked all of the oxygen up, because it's interesting. It's a great story. And dear God, if Conor wins, it's a story that we're going to be talking about forever.
Like Mean Gene says, don't be left out.
Do not.
Plus, if you order early, you get a hat from UFC.
Yeah, I don't know that you can still get the hat, though. It's Wednesday night here. I don't know that we is. I think we're past.
Oh,
are they
done with the
hat yesterday thing? I think yesterday was the moratorium on the free hat.
It left with the eclipse, did it?
It
no
did.
No hat after the eclipse.
Nope. And the other thing that left with the eclipse is John Jones' legacy, which is funny because I think we, you know, you and I were texting for the last 2 weeks because we've both been traveling in opposite directions, so we haven't had a podcast together. And I think,
which is a good thing, because we actually didn't have a decision in this fight until
right
yesterday.
Right. And I was thinking 4 days ago, I'm like, man, we haven't even talked about Jones Cormier because we've been gone for so long. But like, there's all this space and all this time to talk about it, and there's not much going on. Okay, Jesus Christ, what the. What? So John Jones tests positive for a steroid from 1960 that's taken orally. And there's some really interesting things about this story for a couple of reasons. One, if it's true and the suspension goes through, he's out for 4 years. And so I wanted to say this to you, Ken, after I've got a day to think about this. I really think that there were easier ways to fight Brock Lesnar in the WWE than testing positive against Daniel Cormier. I'm just saying, like, if you were trying to get him,
that's what he's trying to do.
If you're trying to get another job, there are easier ways to do this. two, you know, if he's gone for 4 years, I would imagine, I mean, Dana said it yesterday that he thinks it would be the end of his career. I don't know.
Okay, it's not going to be the end of his career.
With the UFC, though, you think?
No.
Okay. That, which is where I was going. I mean, he also said a year ago he would never headline again, and then he headlined again, and then he did the exact same thing to them. So, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me again, I guess. But here's some really interesting stuff that came out right before we came on. Is USADA came out and issued a statement about this, which... in attempts,
they want to let the process.
Yeah, they want to quell this down a little bit, but then they say some really interesting stuff that I think we want to dig into. So they say we can't comment on an ongoing case, but importantly, all athletes under the UFC anti-doping program, which I'm sure they want to get rid of at this point, are innocent unless they unless and until they establish process determines otherwise. As part of this process, Mr. Jones is given the opportunity to be heard, confront and cross-examine the evidence, and have the ultimate decision of whether he violated the rules or not be decided by independent judges. It's only fair to let due process occur before drawing any conclusions about Mr. Jones. And here's what we know factually. He passed two tests on July 6th and July 7th. He did not pass a test on July 28th, which was weigh-in day. And the U.S. USADA, I should say, and the California Athletic Commission is mum's the word on whether or not they tested him on July 29th, which would have been fight night. TMZ was the one that broke the whole story yesterday, and the steroid, as I said, is an oral, so you have to take it as a pill. So this is where it gets a little weird, as I've been doing some research both in the actual internet and watching some people that we trust on Twitter talk about this, is that it's highly unlikely that he took it on weigh-in day because it wouldn't do anything, right? Like, that's not how steroids work. And his camp and his managers are going back to this tainted supplement thing. So I want to handle this in two parts. One, Ken Evans, if you were serving a 1 year suspension for tainted supplements a year ago, would you maybe not take supplements? Because I would probably not take supplements.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think this you can go with tainted supplements. He failed for an estrogen blocker last year, correct? And they blame that on tainted supplements.
Yes.
And now they're saying it's T-Bol. Is that the steroid here? Theranabol or whatever?
Yeah, Theranabol. Yeah, something like that.
So I don't know. That sounds like the dude's trying to cycle and stack. That's what that sounds like to me. And I've seen that on Twitter a couple of times. Again, it's just speculation. But yeah, I mean, but it goes back to your direct question. Can you just keep saying you've got tainted supplements or dick pills? I mean, at what point do you just stop taking everything and going, hey, guys, let's chill for a minute. I just got like suspended for a whole year and I need to like not take anything you guys are giving me. How about milk and some roasted chicken?
Chicken.
And that's
what we're going to. Some broccoli maybe that we wash thoroughly to make sure there's nothing in the broccoli.
Exactly. I mean, what is going on here? It sounds like, and again, maybe he's cycling. Like you said, it doesn't do anything for the fight that night, but maybe he feels like he's past it at that point or he's where he needs to be. Again, I don't know enough about steroids to talk very well about it, but I have seen enough people discussing it online to where I gained a little bit of insight here and there. But the most important thing is not what I've gained online. It's that fact you just mentioned. He just got busted. Why would you take anything in the world that could be construed as a supplement? Just stop. Just don't take it. Just do whatever you do. I'm more apt to believe that somebody tried to F with the sample than the fact that this was another tainted supplement, quote unquote.
So, okay, so let me pause you there. Do you really believe that, or are you just saying that as conjecture?
I don't believe that, okay. But I'm more likely to believe that at this point than to believe John Jones has the worst luck in the world when he goes to GNC and just keeps grabbing these crates of tainted supplements. I mean, come on. What is going on? I hope he's keeping his receipts because those are expensive, man. It's expensive stuff. You ever go to GNC?
Yeah, no, I'm aware of how expensive
it
is.
Like, I need some Alpha Brain. They're like $80. I'm like, I'm cool with being dumb. That's never mind. I'll keep my $80. And I'll head on out. I'll save that money.
I believe if you use the keyword Joe Rogan at checkout, you can get 10% off, I believe.
Is that it?
Yes,
I believe
that's what you can do.
I think, actually, if you're in person, you just have to go, get on it! You just have to scream at the guy at the checkout.
Yes.
And then you get 100% off because he freaks out and you run out of the store with your $80 alpha.
So two things I wanted to say, and I said one of them last night, is, you know, if you're interested in seeing how that side of the sport, meaning the performance enhancing steroid taking part of the sport, works, and you are a Netflix subscriber, Icarus is a really interesting look at.
I've heard that.
I
gotta take a look at it.
It's a really interesting look at how that, and will not spoil the movie for you, but the beginning setup is a cyclist who is a team member of Lance Armstrong hires a guy to help him develop a test of taking steroids to beat the test. Like, that's the premise of the movie.
That's the high end. See, and that's the high end of this, too, which some people don't realize how insane it's getting. And yeah, it does seem kind of weird that he tested positive for this weird pill, because it seems like you're past that. But then maybe again, I don't know. Maybe you're a guy. Maybe he saw that OSP fight again, like the week before the fight. He's like, I gotta take something.
Well, and it's funny because I remember when the fight happened the week leading up. I'm like, man, he looks great. And then I'm doing research on Thanabol, like, and what it's known for is making you look lean muscle mass, like super trim and super fit. And sure as shit, he looks super thin and super fit.
And somewhere Daniel Cormier is laughing.
Well, and that's the most, to me, that's the most interesting part about this story is.
And he's not actually laughing, though.
No.
I should be. I mean, he's emotionally distraught. He's withheld judgment. He's been very classy about this. But, man, if this guy beat you twice and he was on steroids one of the times for sure, which would be this most recent time, and there's now this giant shadow cast over all these other fights. But you've lost to him twice, perceptually. And for a guy like Daniel Cormier, who did lean into that heel persona a little bit, you know it still bothers him. Like, he's done so many amazing things. Again, we talked about on this podcast before the fight, you have to make an argument for him maybe being the best fighter, one of the best fighters in the world, maybe in the top 10, if he's able to beat John. Because of all the other things you've seen him do, but the fact that he lost to John, and now that he lost to him again, regardless of steroids, because... Let's think about this. Testing positive does not change public perception. How do you feel about Mark Hunt versus Brock Lesnar right now? I feel like Brock looks super impressive and manhandled Mark Hunt, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. I don't feel less like that at this point. And again, we didn't even break the damn fight down because we haven't had a podcast. John Jones was getting his ass kicked, but he landed that leg on the button. We talk about the button all the time. It's right here, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you can't see me. Eric can see me, though.
Right behind the ear, friends.
It's just below the ear, right on that jaw, and that's the button, man. You see that thing. You see it, people get hit there. That's the spot. I mean, that's going to knock you out, and John Jones was able to just land that kick. You know, he had it scouted. You showed the clip from years earlier where Daniel Cormier knew it was a weakness and said, I got to work on this, and John Jones knew that he was going to throw a leg kick there to try to take advantage of it. This reminds me entirely back in the day when Dan Henderson fought Michael Bisping the first time, and everybody's like, hey, why is he circling towards Dan's power? He shouldn't circle towards Dan's power. Oh, and he's asleep.
It turns out you can't do that for three rounds. Apparently he'll get you.
Do that. So as impressive as Cormier looked, I mean, he got knocked out. He got knocked out brutally. There was a big hubbubaloo about the interview afterwards and all of that stuff. And you've got all of this emotion, everything tied up into it. You've got Daniel Cormier, who we were going to talk about, making his first statement earlier this week about the loss. He had finally, actually near the end of last week, I believe it was, but had finally come to terms with the loss to the point where he was going to make a statement about it. He finally seems to have gotten to the point that, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do this or what I want to do in the future, but here's my statement. Here's how I feel about it. And boom, they're throwing. So you got to feel, because remember emotionally how he was just torn apart before UFC 200. Because we've seen the backstage video when Dana told him and he lost the fight. And you could tell his head was not in it when he was fighting Anderson Silva. And he just wanted to get out of there and cash the check. And I don't even mean cash the check in a bad way. Just get out of fight week and just be done with it because of everything that happened. He's had that thrown at him again, but this time added with the fact that he's already lost to the guy. that apparently cheated, if you're to believe this initial USADA report that's been let out about John Jones testing positive.
But here's the two things that don't change in that statement. He still got head kicked and got beat regardless of the steroid, you know, and that's not a perception issue. That's a fact issue, right? He got
okay. It's a fact issue, but I've heard a lot of people say that wouldn't have changed this fight. You don't know what changes what fight.
No. I'm not saying it would or would not.
But I've seen that on Twitter, and I want to give you a chance to clarify.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that, but I am saying, like, as Daniel Cormier, he knows he still got beat, and I think in the back of a lot of these guys' mind, you know, you'll see guys like, Conor McGregor is one of those guys. Like, I know they're all juiced up. I'm still going to murder all of them, right? I don't care what you take, anything that you want to take, I'm still going to beat you.
Right.
That's in the back of a lot of these guys' mind. And so when you lose to the guy and then you find out he was taking something to get an edge on you, it doesn't make it any easier for him to get past the fact that his first knockout happens on such a public stage, the biggest pay-per-view of the year. Right. Where all of these we're talking about casual fans this week, where all of these casual fans tune in, and they sure as hell are not tuning in 2 weeks for Mighty Mouse to defend his title against Ray Borg. That ain't happening. So they've got a really, really long memory when it comes to the big stars. And they're going to remember that John Jones knocked out Daniel Cormier. And it's going to take him a minute for them to realize where the hell John Jones went. And Daniel will have that over him just like he did the last time, you know. He lost to John Jones and became the champion with an asterisk. He's back to being the champion with an asterisk.
Maybe. I don't think we've got that official yet.
No, but
the UFC is going to try to let this play out because they need John Jones. If you're UFC, you got to hope somebody was in the back peeing in those bags by accident that just screwed up the test, because you don't know what you're going to do with it. I mean, they were talking about John Stipe for Detroit.
Yep.
Or all the rumors I've read, which means I feel like they were a little desperate. Do you go right to that fight unless you're a little bit desperate to make John Jones make you a lot of money quickly? Because I, as much as I would have loved to have seen it, because we could have driven down the road from where we are and seen that fight live, I want to say 100% from a business perspective, I'm like, oh, man. They got to be hurting, because you don't want to put John right in a super fight. Do you not feel like he can carry the division or carry pay-per-views by himself without going up against your heavyweight guy, or your heavyweight guy can't carry that? If that would have happened that quickly, and again, sometimes Dana says things because he knows he doesn't have to do them, because he doesn't have to do this now.
Right.
And maybe somebody in the office at once said, hey, how about John Stipe Detroit? Maybe we'll do that. That's all it could have been. But if it was any more than that, man, again, this was the Fertittas, man. Whatever they're bet. I'll tell you what. You asked me earlier about Mayweather McGregor. Somebody stand in line by Lorenzo Fertitta and watch whatever he bets, and bet exactly the same way he does. Because, man, that guy got out. That guy got out when the getting was great. $4 billion worth of great. And I'm not one of these guys saying, the MMA is dying. But you cannot say it's in the same spot it was at that time that it sold for $4 billion, with Ronda Rousey leading the charge, with John Jones in the mix, with Conor McGregor about to explode. GSP was still on the horizon at that point, even though he had retired. I mean, there was the timing on that was impeccable. And if John was actually slated to actually face Stipe this quick, I think that says a lot about the UFC as a company. So they're not going to strip him until they absolutely have to strip him at this point. So we'll wait and see when that happens.
We will wait and see, but as people who are invested in this sport and fans who are invested in this sport, I mean, it's going to be hard for them to back away from this, especially if, and you know, his agent did make a statement this afternoon that they're pretty sure it's a tainted supplement, or at least that's what they're going to go with. It's hard to buy that, because I don't understand why you're taking a supplement. You literally just came off of suspension for an over-the-counter, generic, non-checked-out erectile dysfunction drug, or as Ken's favorite phrase, dick pill, right? Why on earth don't you have seven...
That's because it was invented by a guy named Richard.
Yes. You know, don't you have seven people checking all of the stuff you're putting in your body?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think his management would have been better to blame the Manitowoc police on this situation.
Making of a steroid user.
I'm with you. I don't know enough about steroids, but I do know enough about freaking common sense to go, why are you even screwing with supplements at this point after that is what just happened to you in your last fight? And you're contrite and you're saying, I'm glad I made it back and I'm glad I'm back in this place and God be whatever God be to him and the thing on his chest. And I don't know. You stay away from the steroids.
Here's the exact quote from his manager, who was on the MMA Hour, who said, I can almost bet my life on it that this is another tainted supplement.
Good. Why is he? Please tell me that. Was Ariel hosting this one? Was there a follow-up about why he's even taking supplements?
I'm only seeing.
Why do you feel the need to take supplements at this point? Because yeah. I that would be me. Why would you feel the need to take supplements? Don't do it at this point. Just get it. I get it. It's part of the routine, and these guys have things going on, but that's it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
So here's what he says. There is no follow-up, really. It's just an article, so I'm not seeing any of the actual interview. But he says, Kawa goes on to say, the problem that we're having with this is that he passes all of the random tests, but then one test that we know about is the one we know for sure about. That's the one we fail. So something's not sitting right here. I'm assuming it's the supplements we
took. That's why they do all the tests. That's a stupid line of reasoning. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right.
But that's why they do a bunch of tests. Like, we pass most of the tests. But that's why they do a lot of tests.
Right. I'm assuming it's the supplements we took. We just obviously got to get to work on it, see what was taken that month, that 3-week period, that week of the fight, and figure it out from there.
There's somebody in John Jones' camp right now crushing up horse steroids into like one old canister.
It is, man. I hope they test this.
And this goes on into the ridiculous. So he keeps talking. The UFC knows. They look at his tests on the 6th and the 7th, and he passes both of those. There's nothing. I need to use this in italics, but I can't. There's nothing in his system. For him to start doing steroids, especially the steroids they're saying he took, would have had to have been doing the steroid for a while to actually do anything. He just took it to take it. I mean, there's a lot of issues with that. That's why I just wish they would change the way they release the information. Absolutely, because I think if sample B comes back negative, this man just got crushed again for no reason.
Mm. He didn't get if sample B comes back negative... again, I won't say it's going to be fine because there's always going to be people going, oh, the UFC paid everybody off. That's what happened. But I think for the most part, everything will be fine and John will keep his belt and he'll get to keep defending it. And again, yeah, it sucks. But you know what? It happened to you before, man. So people are going to look at you a little sideways every single time.
Yeah, well, but I think it's a little bit more than
you got to deal with that.
It's a little bit more than sideways, though, right? Like, what are the chances that you got into two tainted supplements within 12 months?
Okay, but again, if it comes...
Tell me, Scooby-Doo, how did this happen?
If B-side comes back negative, he gets to keep fighting, we'll forget. We'll remember he beat Daniel Cormier, and we'll let him fight Stipe or do whatever he does next.
Do you know how they do this testing? Because do they not have the... Do they not test the B sample automatically, or do they have to ask for that when they get a positive test? Is that how this works?
I'm not sure. All I know is that you need to get out your eclipse glasses with John Jones peas because it's hot to look at.
It's really, you should not look at it directly. You will go blind.
I'm the only guy that brings eclipse glasses to a podcast.
Yes, but I can appreciate the joke.
There you go. These are like Chinese knockoffs, though, so I don't know. Maybe they came with John Jones dick pills. I can't see anything. I just bumped into my microphone. So these might work. I don't know. I'll send them. I'm going to donate them to like South America, though, because I don't trust those.
Fair enough.
Even though they got our flag on them.
Yeah, man.
Did you watch the eclipse?
I did watch the eclipse, which is way more interesting than watching John Jones talk about.
Oh, no.
Like,
so, yeah, this is insane how this is going to play out. And, you know, I don't know what to think at this point. I don't want to rush to judgment, but Jesus. If it got this far, you know, smoke and fire, that's what we're talking about at this point, isn't it, Eric?
Yeah. That's the problem is that you've got a guy who's got a list of insane stuff that he's done. And most recently, one of them was taking estrogen blockers found in performance enhancing drugs for his NARDs. So it's hard to be like, oh, yeah, I mean, you got that tainted supplement again. It's all good, dude.
He's buying his supplements the same place I got these.
Wherever the hell you
Chinese
got those
eclipse glasses.
Those things that both you and your son will be blind in an hour.
You need something to watch the sun with? I got it over here, bro. You need some supplements? I got it over here, right next to the glasses. Right over next to the glasses.
It's insane. And if the B sample comes back positive, I mean, what does this organization do? What do they do?
I don't know, but can your name be EOB sample if the B sample comes back?
Yes. Next week I will come on as EOB sample cleared.
I think you can avoid the corporate radio juggernauts of lawyers with that one.
With EOB sample.
If it's cleared, they put him back in. And yeah, it's going to be bumpy, but they put him back in and we'll kind of forget about it. And they'll get some of their money out of John Jones. But yeah, I'm not making a pun. It will be tainted to watch his wins in the future. And there'll always be that whisper at this point.
Because you can't help, because I've been doing it since this broke last night. You can't help but think back, are they right? Has he been on them the whole time?
Right. I mean, he's been that dominant. He's been the best in the world. Everybody says, man, I can't believe what John Jones has done. He's never really been defeated. Of course, he took the one DQ, shouldn't have been a DQ.
Right.
But man, yeah, it's going to be one of those things. Maybe he was on it the whole time, and maybe that's why, because remember, we didn't get into this USADA stuff until a couple of years back. And as soon as we did, boom, John Jones just started pissing right through cups, according to USADA.
Do you think they get out of this? I think they've got like 6 months left. Do you think they cancel this and do something else?
No, I think this is their job. I think this is what they're trying to do. We said this was going to be nasty. We said if they were really trying to clean things up, it was going to be bumpy and nasty, and God knows what happens to some of these cards. And we saw it happen with John Jones last year, and we said this is what you're getting, but this is how you clean the sport up if you really want to. And boom, we've got it again. I don't think they're going to change, because I think if they change at that point, they're going to be admitting, hey, we just want our guys to find something that's easier to test through. I don't know. Will the dynamic pressures of the marketplace cause them to do that? Who knows? The one thing I do know is it could be very ironic, because we could see Brock Lesnar back in the octagon before John Jones at this point.
Maybe, or more likely, if he does get suspended for 4 years, you're going to see John Jones in the WWE before that happens.
I'm just saying that's an interesting dynamic too, to think about. Like, Brock could literally come back anytime in 4 years.
Know that they would want him at this point, because to your point,
Cormier loves wrestling. I think he would love to fight Brock.
Of
like
course
a
he would.
Legit UFC fight.
Sure he would.
I make so much money. And I'd pick Cormier in that. I love Brock too. I love me some Brock. I just think Cormier's that smart and that good, and he's been able to work that heavy before.
Yeah, well, that, and you're fighting against a guy who really hates to be punched, which this is the wrong sport, because it's all about being punched. So yeah, I would take Cormier in that as well.
See, look at that. The UFC intern that listens to every podcast on the internet. Write that down. Give that one to Dana. Cormier Lesnar, we're signed up. You're going to do a million pay-per-view buys. Set it up this weekend at the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Have them both on opposite sides of the ring.
Yes, do that.
Brock comes out with Mayweather, probably?
Yeah, sure. That seems like a great idea. And Cormier can come out with Connor.
I don't know. Brock's a Canadian now. I don't know if there's any natural Irish tendencies there or not.
I don't either. That's a lot of nationalism happening then. If you get the United States and Canada and Ireland and...
Right. And I don't know. Yeah. Connor's not Northern Ireland, right?
He's all Ireland.
Look, as somebody who's part Irish, I don't know which part, if I'm like throwing the grenade or running from the grenade part. But as somebody who's part Irish, that's important from what I've been told.
Well, and as someone who played one on the radio, I can agree with that sentiment that it's clearly important.
Eric only took an Irish name on the radio so he could drink whiskey without people bothering him.
All right. It is this weekend, Mayweather, McGregor.
It's a medical condition. It's HIPAA.
You cannot ask me about this issue that I have. It's covered by HIPAA. It's what we signed up for.
HIPAA.
Yeah, so just to kind of recap and let you go about your weekend, Ken is picking Mayweather in the 11th or 12th with TKO. I am going to go with Conor McGregor's original prognostication, I should say. Fourth round TKO of Floyd, Money Mayweather.
Interesting. Interesting. And the boxing world crumbles if EOB's prediction.
If the EOB official prediction of the night comes true, that would be a really crazy night. I will say this, and I want to run this by you kind of as a live fire drill since we didn't actually talk about this. I'm wondering if we should do instant reactions on Saturday night after the fight on Facebook Live.
Yeah, we can give it a try.
All right, we'll do that. So
we'll see how. So see, here's the problem. You say that. I'm cool with that, but I'm ordering this one. So I'm going to be blotto at that point.
So
like,
and
I've got four computers in this house. I won't be. You'll have to bring your own to log on. Like, how do you log on to that? I don't know, man.
Oh, shut up.
I don't know. What are you doing?
I just lost, on the back I lost $63.19 on what? I don't know. A bet on the color of their shorts or something.
I didn't make a bet. I invited our buddy Matt to this thing, and he hasn't responded. He got mad because I asked him to chip in with Mayweather and Ricky Hatton one time. And I don't usually ask people to chip in, except sure. That was one of those times like people were asking me if I got the fight. So yeah. I was like, hey, yeah, you mind like throwing $10 my way? Like, I don't ask for even.
He got mad at that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't remember that?
No.
I did text him. I said, hey, if you want to come over to Mayweather McGregor, it's cool. Don't worry. You don't have to chip in now. And then he hasn't talked to me since. So
I will bring my $20 and I will see you on Saturday. So
you're bumped up to 20 because I don't think that dude's coming.
I'll cover two. All right, buddy.
Real quick note. Just to reemphasize how terrible Barstool Sports Radio is, apparently they knocked our buddy Big Drew off the air this week by sucking all the Wi-Fi up.
Oh, did they?
The Vegas Wi-Fi tent or whatever the hell McGregor Mayweather's got going on this week. So, yes, again, the most terrible show on XM Radio, Barstool Sports Radio, where they curse more than they think, has done a terrible thing this week.
To be fair, that's a pretty good catchphrase. They should go with that. We curse more than...
You know what? Those sons of bitches would probably lean into it.
Yep. I mean, I sure as hell would if somebody gave that to me. So way to go, buddy.
Damn it.
Yeah. So as we are starting some sort of broadcasting version of Game of Thrones, I'm assuming that you're Renly Baratheon in this storyline, and we'll see how this...
What are we going to be Renly Baratheon? Out of all the guys, got to be Renly. It's like 2 weeks. And again, I don't have a problem that he's gay, but I mean, you just pick the weird guy that lasted like 2 weeks with a wooden crown.
That's the one.
That's who I got.
The deer crown for sure.
Please let me be like Benjen and just like show up every once in a while when you need a plot device.
Right. All right, I'm not going to let this devolve into Game of Thrones spoilers, love to do that at some point. All right, have a good week. Enjoy the fights. We'll be back next week. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. This time around, brought to you by the EOB Show. Because it's Irish.